welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm Sharmila Molly. I'm a self-love expert, an intuitive healer, and also your hostess for this podcast. You are about to hear inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence, maintaining self-love and sanity as we answer the calling of being a healer and running a business. I would really appreciate it if you could help me grow this podcast by telling others about it and by becoming a patron by donating monthly or giving a generous one-time donation. When you donate, it lets me know that you love what I'm doing, and by donating, you are supporting me, a healer running a small business. You can find the PayPal link on theconfidenthealer.net and in every show note. So thank you so much for being here, and let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Confident Healer Podcast with me, your hostess, Sharmila Molly. This is, just in case you didn't know, second season. I believe it's episode 16. This week's episode is going to be about energetic hygiene, how to keep boundaries, protect yourself, how not to absorb other people's energy, which is kind of a big deal when you are an energy healer, a psychologist, perhaps a medical doctor, you know, someone that is constantly seeing people, and especially those healing types of industries where you are, they're coming to you for help because they're in some sort of pain. Or maybe for the non-professional types, it's just regular people. Everyone's an empath. We're all energy beings. And you walk into a supermarket, or you have a toxic member of your family, or you find yourself feeling drained, tired after speaking to someone. It's because you've been taking their energy and giving them way too much of yours. This is actually something that I teach in all of my Reiki workshops and in my upcoming 9-month Confident Healer training certification that starts in May. So yeah, I had a couple of people call in. One did hypnotherapy and an energy healing, and then the other one is a psychologist. And they both came to me about the same thing. And like I said, it always comes up. Whether I'm seeing clients or if I have students or just talking to people, we all experience this because we're all energy beings. We are emotional beings. We feel emotions. We are all empathic. Some of us have a dial with our empathicness. Some people had really bad experiences with it and tend to turn it off, put up a wall, put up a very firm boundary. And we all have varying degrees of how we take on other people's energy, how about our energetic hygiene. We all have different degrees of our energetic hygiene. So hygiene, right? Just like you wash your face, you wash your body, you wash your hands, right? Hand sanitizers were a big thing these past 2 years. The same thing with your energy field, with your aura. How do we sanitize our aura? How do we stop absorbing other people's energy to a certain degree? You really can't stop it because we're just energetic beings. You know, we walk out into the world, we interact with people, we interact with nature. That's why we feel so good when we're out in nature, right? We're at the beach, or we go to a safari park, we spend time with animals, we spend time with other people that we love to be around. And there's an exchange of energy, right? There's an exchange. You're giving, you're taking, and sometimes you take on too much and you're giving too much at the same time. And then there are those that seek people out to take their energy. And we call those energy vampires. So that's the question that I will give you some insight about. So for non-energy healers, just people out in the world, interacting with everyone else. Maybe you work in an office and you find yourself a little bit draining because someone just has some type of energy that, you know, they're just in a bad mood, something's always bothering them, and they spew it, right? So I thought about this earlier today, and I was thinking about the best analogy is, especially when you're, you know, in a shitty mood, or, you know, you just kind of have a negative outlook on life. And, you know, some of us do. I know I've had that at times. I know I could be a negative Nancy at times. I'm human. It happens. You know, you go on a rant and it's just like everything, your people suck, you know, all that. So say say you are working in an office and somebody is spewing their shit, right? They talk about their shit. And what do I mean by that? Like with their energy. So imagine their energy is shit. Okay. It's like, it's palpable. We all know what that is like. We try to avoid, you know, stepping in shit and dog shit, stepping in other people's shit. And so just think about it like that. Think about someone's energy like that. Like they smear it on the table and it's on the wall and you walk in and you're like, what the hell? And they are just spewing it. They are just, it emanates from their energy. They're talking about something, you know, on the way to the office, you know, traffic and just how the weight of the world is, you know, the world is out to get them. They always have a dark cloud over them. And it's shitty, right? You don't want to be around them. Or if you're their friend, you try to listen to them, but you just can't, you know, the stench of the shit gets to you and it gives you a headache. Or some of the symptoms of, you know, feeling drained by someone or giving someone too much of your energy is, like I said, fatigue, headaches, feeling like you're drained, like you need to go take a nap, or like you're just like, whew, what happened? I don't know what just happened. Well, you know, you just walked into someone's shit and now it's all over you. Now you got it all over you. So it's hard not to absorb someone's energy, but there is a way to clean your energy, to have good energetic hygiene, and to be able to set up boundaries, to not absorb so much from them and not to feel like you have to take it on and wear it like a badge of honor or wear it like your favorite hat. No. So with that, I was talking to a friend today and he gave me this idea of, you know, especially if you're dealing with someone that you know you don't really necessarily like to talk to and you have to because they're a family member, you know, you can give the conversation like 5-10 minutes of your time and that's it, you know, because for whatever reason, like you have to deal with this person. There's no way that you can just cut them out of your life. And, you know, you cut people out of your life only for good reason, because they are doing something that's harmful, because you don't want to deal with it anymore. You've tried many different things and you don't want to deal with it anymore. So giving a time limit. So one of the ways to have energetic boundaries is to have a time limit. Just tell yourself, tell the person, like I only have 5 minutes because that's all I have right now. So I will talk to you. And when you know you're going to talk to this person, let's say you don't know you're going to talk to this person. They show up at your door, they call you. You don't have to answer. Or you can answer and you can say, you know what, I'll be right back. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to get grounded. Make sure that you're in your body. And so what you do is you imagine roots growing from the earth, up through the earth, up through the foundation. If you're on the 10th floor or the ground floor, just seeing those roots going through until they meet your feet. And just imagining seeing those roots growing into your feet, the bottom of your feet, up your legs, and finding the center of your body, whether that's the root, like your coccyx area, whether that's your solar plexus, whether it's your heart, you find the center of your body and you make sure that you're really grounded before talking to this person, especially if you feel ungrounded. And then another thing to do is, and it takes time, it takes practice to do this. And if you're not used to setting boundaries with people, you have to start sometime, right? So find a way to stop people pleasing for this person, stop trying to get their approval, stop caring about what they think. There's a certain extent of how much you care about what they think of you. But if it's a toxic relationship, then that's something you need to look at. So the second thing to do before you start to talk to this person when you call them back, as you answered or you texted them like, oh, I'll call you back in a few minutes. And this is to get yourself ready. So the first thing is to ground yourself. Second thing to do is to do a three-layer protection. And my fairy godmother, Georgie Weston, taught me this after I was experiencing some energy in my third chakra when I would teach workshops or when I used to do Reiki circles. It was just really weird because I was experiencing it in my third chakra, and I would get bloated. I would have pain, like gas pain. And I was like, you know, I thought I put, you know, saw a bubble of white light. Well, she has a three layer of protection, and this is what you're going to do. So the first layer is your own personal space. So however much space you need, maybe it's an inch, maybe it's 5 feet, maybe it's 20 feet. That's your first layer. And what I like to imagine is Teflon. Teflon is that nonstick substance material that they put on frying pans, right? So that your eggs or whatever you're cooking, you know, slides right off, doesn't stick. So that's the first layer, is maybe it's 10 feet thick, maybe it's 2 inches thick, whatever you feel is right for you. Make that your first layer, your first personal layer. Then the second layer is between you and the public, or you and the person or your client, whoever it is. And that second layer, I also do another round of Teflon. And again, so you've got your first layer, say it's 5 feet in front of you. And then you have the second layer, another 10 feet from that 5 feet, right? So now it's 15 feet in front of you. And like I said, this is a personal preference. You don't have to imagine Teflon. You can imagine any material that you consider strong and impenetrable. So first layer, Teflon, second layer, Teflon. One is 5 feet out, because that's my personal space. 5 feet out, not just like a cylinder, you know, surrounding you. This is your auric field. We're talking about your energetic field. Second layer, Teflon, another layer of Teflon. Third layer, which I love this, is to imagine a soft pink cloud of unconditional love. And that could be like, you know, like 30 feet out. So we're talking, so I've got 5, 15 feet, or that would be 20 feet. And then maybe 30 feet. So 30 plus 4, so 45 feet out, right? Did I do that right? 20, 30, 50 feet out. Doing this off the fly, I don't add very fast. So for me, my third layer is going to be 50 feet out, and it's a pink cloud of unconditional love, so that whatever comes at me, no matter what it is, and we're going to label this positive or negative, good or bad, evil and good, it's going to be absorbed and turned into unconditional love before it ever hits my second layer. So that is the third layer. So the three layer of protection by fairy godmother Georgie is what you need to do. Ground yourself and do that three layer of protection and see how you feel. See how you feel when you talk to this person, giving them only 5 minutes. If your people pleasing gets in the way, just pretend like you accidentally hung up. Or to cleanse your energy field, there's a couple of things that you can do. I like to, what I called raking, like a rake, R-A-K-E. Like when you rake leaves, you use your fingers. I like to do that. I'm very kinesthetic. So if that doesn't work for you, like, oh, this feels really stupid, Charmaine, I don't want to do that, then don't do it. Do what feels right for you. So imagining a rake or using your fingers in a rake and starting at the top of your head. And I'm making a video for this. I'm sitting down, but I do go from the top of my head, like as far out as my arms can extend, out to the sides, out to the front, out to the back behind me. And this is the important part. You shake off your hands, all that energy that you just, all, you're cleaning your energy, right? Just like you would wash your hands and you put it under a dryer, or you'd, you know, you'd take a paper towel. You're going to just shake your hands off and direct that energy to the earth to recycle. What does that mean? Why do you do that? Why can't I just clear, rake my aura and just leave it like that? Because now you've just polluted the room with that energy. Just like you would dust, right? Or you're vacuuming without a bag. Like, what's the point of vacuuming? You're just spewing it to another part of the room. So make sure, just like with, if you were vacuuming with a bag, you would take out the bag, or if you have a canister, you'd bagless, you know, you dump that into the trash, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to take that excess energy that you just cleared off your aura with, and using, you can use your breath, and send that down to the earth. Now, for people who are professional healers, they are energy healers, medical doctors, psychologists, anyone that has an interaction with another person where your job is to listen to their pain or help them with their pain, you know, and it's, and I'm going to include myself, you know, we go into these, into these professions, into this work, because we genuinely want to help someone. We want to, because we're just empathic, and you're, there's this overwhelming, compelling feeling to help someone. And that doesn't mean that you need to take their pain, swallow it, and digest it. You know, either there's, and I think that's where the distinction is. That's how you can fine tune your awareness, that you are listening, but there's a way of listening and working on someone where you can redirect the pain that they're giving you and the pain that you're working on, and direct it away from you. And again, sending it to the earth, for, to the earth to recycle, because that's what she does. That's what our Mother Earth does. She's a great recycler of energy. And that may be hard to hear, that, well, that's my job. My job is to take away their pain. Yes, but your job is not to smear it on you like sunscreen or makeup or body lotion, or eat it like it was your favorite fruit. You know, you don't have to ingest it. And then there's, and I was having this problem too. That's how I know where their pain is. If I don't use my empathic skills of, like, you know, I was like, oh, there's a pain in their shoulder. I have to go into their shoulder and work on that. Or there's a pain on, you know, on their right knee. So what I've done is I want to be told where the pain is. I want to be directed toward it. I don't necessarily have to feel it. And if I do feel it, I make sure that it bounces right back off of me, of where I'm feeling it in my body, and it goes into the earth. And it is something that you just have to be diligent in practicing, and to really understand that in order to stay in this profession and avoid burnout, is you need to implement some kind of energetic hygiene for your own happiness, for your own preservation, for your own longevity, if you plan on doing this type of work for a long time. I remember, you know, when I was thinking about going into psychology, I would speak to other psychologists who weren't doing it anymore. And I would ask, you know, why aren't you doing anymore? It was basically because they were burnt out. They're like, I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about it. And that's a real thing. That's a real problem. And what do? You just, if you are guided to end that career and start something else, and that's what you're guided to do, if that's what you feel you must do. But before you do that, try these steps of going over in your mind what you're actually, what agreements subtle agreements that you've made with your clients, with your patients, with your students. You know, I can imagine, you know, teachers are the same way, right? You know, they care about these kids that they're working with, whether they're children or adults, whether you're a professor, you know, at a university, or you're an elementary or preschool teacher, and you just give your heart and soul to them. You just believe in them so much, and you just want to do everything, but you're not their parent. You love them and you care about them and you want to help them succeed, but at your own expense. That's when you got to look at yourself and like, okay, how can I still help this person, still feel passionate and love this person, but also preserve my own energy? And that's where this agreement, this unspoken agreement that you think that, well, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do, then I need to take their pain and wear it. And then you see the next student or the next client, if you've got like 24 students, then how many students are you wearing that wears you down? So that can be something really hard to look at, is your own agreement with this healing work that you're doing, with this one-on-one time, with the group dynamic, and how much of it that you're taking in when you don't have to. You can still help someone without taking in their energy. You can redirect their pain. You are listening, you're giving them, you're holding space for them, but who's holding space for you? Which comes to my next tip. So the first tip is to understand where these are for my energy empathic healer types that are professions. And even if you're not, like I said, this also applies to, you know, whether you work around a bunch of people, or you feel really sensitive when you're in a big crowd, like a conference or a grocery store, you go into Costco or you're going to a concert, you know, you start to feel everyone's excitable energy, and that you get caught up in it, you know, everyone's sharing it. And some people don't like to go out into large groups of people because of that. And so what you need to do is, like I said, to get grounded, rake your aura, do the three layer of protection from fairy godmother Georgie, and also to look at, to analyze your own philosophy about why you feel like, because you're a psychologist, because you're a pediatrician or an oncologist or energy healer, acupuncturist, massage therapist, why you feel like it's your job to take on their pain and to hold it. You don't have to hold it, right? If I started giving you a bunch of rocks, you know, pretty soon, you know, it's going to be falling and it's going to drop on your foot. You're going to get in, you're like, oh, let me get another bat. You're just weighted down. So why are you doing that to yourself? It's a little bit of a self-reflective exercise. And when you do, and you understand like, okay, I can change this relationship, I can make this better, then you start to see that, you know, once you start to implement some of these changes, how it all can just be much more enjoyable. You'll have more energy for yourself, for your life, for your clients, your patients, your students. So I guess that's four. I don't know how many things I gave you now. Okay, so there was grounding, raking your aura or visualizing it, the three layer of protection from fairy godmother Georgie, and analyzing why you think like you have to take on their pain. And then the fifth thing is, you're holding space for someone is to get someone else to hold space for you. So you can go to an energy healer to clear your energy, right? You can, you know, do something that's fun that clears it. So that's the fifth thing, is to find somewhere else where you can dump that as you start to understand your own boundaries with people and why you take on the pain, why you feel like you need to take it on and wear it and ingest it and put it on your skin and fill up all the bags, because you got all these bags now with all your clients, that your caseload that you're carrying around. Like, yeah, you don't have to do that anymore. So as you work through that and ask yourself, well, why, what is my role here? I don't have, I can I do this a different way? As you discover a different way, then the sixth thing, hope I'm not confusing, the sixth thing you do is, especially when you're in a one-on-one setting with seeing clients and, you know, let's say you're a professor or a teacher, a school teacher. Let me just speak to the spiritual, religious people first. So you call in your divine guides, your angels, you call in God, you call in your deity to hold the space for you, to hold the space for you, your clients, your students, however many people. You ask them to hold space. You're still going to be holding a little bit of space because you can't help it. We're human beings. Like I said, we're energy human beings. We are constantly interacting with each other. You can't help it. I'm me talking to you, you listening, we are interacting. Yes, it's a recorded voice, but you can still feel my energy, right? Because it's coming through my voice. You're resonating with me on some frequency. So because you're going to hold space, you won't be holding the whole space. You won't be creating. And what do I mean by holding space? Holding space, creating a sacred space. But we all have that friend that we love to go to because they're such a great listener. They always have great advice. That's them holding space. They have an energy about them where whether you're talking on the phone or you go visit to them, it's very comfortable, right? It's just like this comfy chair. And that's just who they are. They've cultivated a way to hold space for someone else. So, and that's why you like them, because they feel very comfy. They're just like a nice warm blanket or, you know, like I said, a nice comfortable chair that you can just snuggle into and just feel held, you know, someone that you feel holds you, figuratively holds you. Like you can just put your head on their proverbial shoulder and sort of cry on their shoulder, right? That's what I mean by holding space. And it's not always, you know, about crying or, but it's a comfortable, it's when a person creates this energetic feeling of like, you know, you're, I hate to say that, I hate to call it like that, like a, you know, like an old comfy, you know, old recliner. I don't know. That's what comes to mind. So you call in your divine guides, you know, if there is someone that you pass, like your grandmother or best friend, you know, you call in their energy to help to hold the space for that day, for that hour. And it's something that, again, takes practice doing. And if you do that, so maybe if you see 5 clients a day, 6 clients a day, teach 3 classes a day, or, you know, you're an elementary school teacher, I don't know how many hours, that's like 8 hours, seven periods, you know, maybe every hour you ask your divine guides to hold space, like, please come in. And so how do you ask your divine guides to hold space if you've never done that before? I think if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have, right? You're the come to Jesus moment, especially if you're Christian, or if you're not Christian, you're Hindu or Muslim, you know how to, you've prayed before. So it's kind of like a prayer. And for us non-religious folk, you know, you call in your divine guides also like a prayer, like a brief meditation, whatever you think that they look like, whatever you think God looks like or goddess, creator, source looks like, your divine guides look like, you ask them to put a layer of protection. And so maybe that's purple light, maybe that's white light, maybe it's like water, and you surround the room in that so that whatever energy comes at you, but you've already done your 3 layer of protection, right? they take care of the energy. They hold that space. They create a comfortable rocking chair or recliner or couch, whatever. You know, they create that big shoulder that everyone can lean on. And for you, yeah, you're going to still hold a little bit of space, but you're not holding that big of a space. And it's going to take a lot of pressure off you. You're going to feel so much better. You're going to feel a lot more freedom. You're going to feel lighter. You're going to have a pep in your step. You know, maybe you'll sleep better. Maybe you'll start eating better. But trying that. Now, if you're an atheist or an agnostic, hold space. That could look like imagining a big easy chair. Or maybe if you have 45 students in a class, you imagine 45 easy chairs for them to sit in, and they can lean on those well-worn arms of the chair. They can lean in on it, and so that you don't have to keep using your energy, having to use your energy that you've created a very comfortable space with that people come to. Yours can be a lot smaller, and everyone has a chair for themselves. Maybe creating like a serene, imagining a serene place, whatever that looks like. Maybe you have like a part of your house. No, don't use a part of your house. Maybe there's like a place, like a park, like a very nice, beautiful park that's at the beach, and it has all these beautiful chaise lounges, right? And umbrellas, and everyone has everything that they need. So maybe you have a client, you know, one-on-one client. Maybe you have a group of 10 people, like I said, you know, or 40 kids in your class. So if you're, this is for my atheist folks or agnostic folks out there, creating some sort of serene space beforehand, before your students come in, where they have a place to lean on energetically in your imagination, just seeing that and forgetting about it and just seeing if that works for you. And then, my seven tips, and I think I'll stop here. The seventh and eighth tip that I always love about energetic hygiene is when you're done working with someone or your class is finished, to take a moment, close the space down so that you can start fresh with the next person coming in, thanking your imagination, thanking those chairs that you've imagined or whatever deity you called in to help you, thanking them for holding the space. And you rake your aura, and then you reset the space again, right? Like, just like how you would reset a room, like after people leave, right? You straighten up the desk, you know, you pick up some pieces of paper, you know, you clean up. Well, you do that energetically too. And when you get home, I always would recommend like a salt bath. If you are able to get to a beach, great. You know, if you can do that once a week or a couple times a week, you know, make that a habit if you can get there for your own self-care, right? This is a way of loving yourself. Is getting to the beach, you know, taking your shoes off or just walking along the shore and getting some of that salt air, because salt also cleanses your auric field, or doing a salt scrub if you can't, or taking a salt bath at home. That does wonders. It's great for your muscles, you know, especially if it's Epsom salt. Throw in some lavender essential oil, something really relaxing, you know, make it a ritual. Light some candles, don't bring in your phone, play some music or don't play music, and just sit in the tub. And like that old commercial, and if anybody remembers, Calgon, take me away, but you're not using Calgon. You're not using those chemicals. You're using salt to cleanse your auric field and then showering that off. And that's what you would do at the end of your day, is taking a salt bath at least a couple times a week, if you can do that. If you can't feel like, I don't know, Sharmila, that's like way too much, then take a salt bath. Buy some salt scrub. Make your own salt scrub. It's all over the internet. You can look it up. It's very easy to do, to make some to make your own salt scrub, and it's great for your skin. Your skin gets a nice exfoliation. Don't do it on your face or neck. If it's, especially if your neck is delicate, definitely don't put salt on your face, to scrub, your skin. If you have sensitive skin, of course, you know, test an area before you start scrubbing your whole body, and, do your feet last. Because you don't slip, because a lot of the, you know, your salt scrubs have oil in them. I think that's 8 tips I've given you. That's why I didn't start out with any tips. But this is, yeah, this is definitely something that I teach, like I said, in my 9-month Confident Healer training program, which starts in May. If you want to sign up, I have a link to take an application. Because it's so important. I wasn't taught this in massage school. And when I took my very first Reiki class, like 19 years ago, you know, my teacher had said, like, yeah, if you're doing Reiki, you know, it's always a positive flow. You're channeling energy. You don't take on other people's stuff, but you do. Because you get in the way and you want to help people. And so you start to exert your own energy and you're like, okay, I really want to fix this person. And that was something I had to look at. Like, why do I want to fix this person? So those 7 techniques, which let me see if I can go over them now. And this is for everyone, not just professional energy healers, even though the last 15 minutes of this or 20 minutes of this podcast has been about talking directly to healers of all types. I'm also talking about anyone that's a human being that's around other people that wants to create stronger boundaries and practice energetic hygiene. So the 8 ways of clearing your energy. And I think the first 3 you should definitely do at the beginning of your day: grounding yourself, doing the 3-layer of protection, giving yourself a time limit with a person that, you know, a family member that you know is always pretty negative, pretty, you know, really draining. Give yourself a time limit with that person. Do the three layer of protection from fairy godmother Georgie taught me. Raking your aura, getting help, holding space, allowing someone else to hold space for you, which is the 6th one. And I gave a couple of examples. So 6A for the spiritual religious types, calling in a divinity, calling in angels, archangels, your divine guides, you know, close people that you know that have passed on, calling their energy to hold the space for you. 6B for the agnostics and atheists, holding space, using your imagination and creating, just imagining the room or the venue that you're going to, where you're leading, and seeing that everyone has a comfy chair to sit in and to lean on instead of leaning on you. Okay, so that's 7B. So then that 6B. So the 7th one is to go to the beach so that you can get into nature and walk along the shore, get those negative ions from the water crashing and, you know, breathing in that salt air, because salt is a great energy, cleanses your energy. Salt bath, 9, salt scrub if you don't have a tub. So those are the 9 different ways of clearing your energy, practicing good energetic hygiene and boundaries. And I believe the 9th one that I meant to say was that if you are a friend, mother, person, healer that feels like, well, it's my job to take others' pain on, like I need to eat it and swallow it and wear it and whatever, question yourself, do some self-reflection of how can you do that differently? How can you listen to someone, be there for someone, hold space for someone, but not take their energy on to direct that into the earth? So there you have it, folks. Oh, I want to announce that for the local people, I am doing twice a month a Reiki sound bath. So It'll be Reiki plus sound healing. We have gongs. We have a nice crystal bowl. And I will bring in my Nepali bowl because they are made in Nepal. My Nepali singing bowls. So that it will be twice a month. And it starts this Friday, which I believe is April 15th. And my upcoming 9-month confident healer training certification, which is one of the things I teach, is all about boundaries and energetic hygiene, which is so important if you're doing energy work. And that application will be live on my website this week if you're interested. I will have a checklist, a free energetic hygiene checklist for you to download. I will have that for you that you can get off my website. And I will have how to do that on the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. This is Sharmila Mali. You're listening to The Confident Healer. See you next week. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. You can find information about the guest or any links I referenced in the show notes. And would you help me grow the show by doing these two things? One, sharing the podcast with someone that you think needs to hear it. And two, supporting the podcast by becoming a patron and giving monthly or make a one-time generous donation. It helps me grow the show and I can just focus on making great episodes for you. You can listen, find the show notes, and the PayPal link to donate all in one convenient location, theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.